So I've been praying with the daily readings, obviously, throughout, and there's some common ground, even though chronologically we jump forward on Sunday, backwards on Sunday and then forward on the weekdays, but they're all gospels from, or selections from the Gospel of Mark right now. So let me just show you that there's a common trend. So on Saturday, that was the story where Jesus calms the storm, right? This happens. The disciples were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" Then Sunday comes along and Jesus is preaching in the synagogue. The people were astonished at his teaching. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." Then Monday comes along, and this is the healing of the Gerasene demoniac, right? When Jesus casts out the demon legion, because there's many of them, and they go into the swine and they run down the hill, right? And the man returns to his home. Jesus says, "Go to your family and tell them what God has done for you." And so the man went off and began to proclaim what Jesus had done. And all were amazed. Then yesterday, Jesus crosses back across the sea and he heals a woman who's bleeding for 12 years, but he also raises the daughter of Jairus from the dead, right? And this is the story of the synagogue official who comes and begs Jesus to come to his house to heal his sick daughter. And before Jesus gets there, she dies. And then Jesus says, "She's not dead, she's just asleep." Which, of course, the people are like, "This guy's crazy." And so he casts all them out, and he goes to her, and he says, "Talitha kuam, little girl, arise." And she gets up. The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately. At that, they were utterly astounded. Saturday, filled with great awe. Sunday, astonished, amazed. Monday, all were amazed. Tuesday, utterly astounded. Wednesday, Jesus gets to be amazed. But one of these amazing things is not like the other, right? Tonight's gospel is a challenge to us. I almost feel like there should be trigger warnings. All right? You're going to be challenged by this, what I'm going to say. Don't freak out by that. It's good to be challenged. The people who knew Jesus best are the ones he can't do anything for. I'll say that again. The people, and I should say it this way, the people who think they know Jesus best are the ones he can't do anything for. And this is a challenge to us because you are here on a Wednesday night. You don't need to be here. The danger for all of us, me included, who are religious people, is that we can very easily think we know who Jesus is. And we get into a rut. We get into a pattern and we get into a habit. This is how I relate to God and this is how he relates to me and this is how it's going to be and I've got it. When we do that, we cease to let him be who he is. In our life, not who he is in himself, but in our life. Because Jesus is a gentleman if he's anything. He will not force his power on anybody. Jesus comes to amaze us because what he does is utterly amazing. The challenge for us is to make sure that we don't think we know who he is so that he can only do certain things in our life. Jesus, unfortunately, is amazed at the lack of faith. That comes from the people who think they know him best. They're so close in this gospel, right? Did you hear the language that Mark uses? Many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this?" That's not a bad question. "What kind of wisdom has been given him?" Again, not a bad question. "What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands?" Good observations. But then somehow, some way, they turn. "Is he not the carpenter's son? Don't we know who he is? Haven't we heard him? And don't we know him? And don't we have him figured out? And can't we place him with our own categories of thinking?" And the end result is this. They took offense at him. Jesus comes to challenge us, to break us out of our sureties about who God is and about how God works and moves in our lives. We have to be humble enough. We have to be, in a certain sense, detached enough to let him move us to new places. Places that necessarily go beyond our comprehension. The challenge for us, who are religious people, is that we go when the Lord invites us into something new. That we let him reestablish who he is in our lives. That we don't put him in a box, try to control him, try to control the relationship. That I don't control this microphone system, which clearly hates me. Right? The Lord's challenging us, right? And the call for us is to let him do that. We want to amaze Jesus in the right way. Not amaze him for our lack of faith, our lack of willingness to go to new places, but rather we want to amaze him in our trust. "You want to take me here, Lord? I'll go. You want to change my life? I will go with you. You want to open up a new way of being for me in the world? I will go. You want to call me out of something that has been so established in my life? You want to call me into something new? I will go with you. I am not afraid because I trust you." And then that great gift, amazing grace, and I use that word intentionally, amazing grace enters our lives, and we will be astounded and we will be utterly astonished at what the Lord can do, because that's how great God is. May we not miss the adventure of following Jesus. May we not miss the adventure of actually knowing him because we think we know him. So if the Lord, and I would suggest he is, if the Lord is calling you out of surety into the adventure of new ways of being with him, be not afraid. It's a challenge for all of us, certainly me included. Let's not put God in a box. Let's not dictate the terms of our relationship to him. But rather, let's be open to the adventure of grace, to the inbreaking of his kingdom in our lives, and to the astounding ways he can change us and change everything about who we are. That's a beautiful thing. The Lord is good. He loves you. He wants to astound you and amaze you with his grace and his love. May we be simple enough to say yes to it.